Would you turn first of all, please, to a verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Just one verse, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then a verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31 verse 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I am he, or even I am the same, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Now over in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah 9 verse 5. Then the Levites, and dropping down to a little lower in the verse, then the Levites said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord, or thou art the same, thou alone, Jehovah. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them. And the host of heaven worshippeth thee. Thou art the Lord, or thou art the same, the God who didst choose Abraham and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldee, and gavest him the name of Abraham. Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 23. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And then finally, some more verses in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. There are changes that are to the glory of God. Changes that are to the eternal glory of God. And in the course of these conference meetings, we have been occupied with some of them, haven't we? We thought of that change that is going to affect the bodies of all the saints. The Lord Jesus will exercise his own power, that power whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And he will transform these bodies of humiliation and fashion them according to his own body of glory. What a witness this is, an eternal witness to the power of redemption and to the grace of God that has reached to us, that we should have bodies like the body of the eternal Son of the Father. Like him we sometimes sing, don't we? Like him. Oh, grace supreme. What could be conceived like this, that we should have glorified bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Hebrews chapter 1, in these verses quoted from Psalm 102, we're occupied with another change, aren't we? It's a change, I think, that the Lord Jesus himself effects. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the works of thy hands. He's the one who brought in creation. He's the one who's going to fold it up. He's the one who's going to change it and bring in that new heavens and that new earth, where everything is of God, where everything is to the eternal praise and glory of God. And we were thinking the other day, yesterday in our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, of the change that is now being accomplished by the Spirit of the Lord, as we are occupied with Christ, where he now is at the right hand of God. Well, all of us, I'm sure, in this room this evening feel how little progress we've made along that line. How little we're like Christ. But we're going to be like him. We're going to be entirely like him, as belonging to that race of which he is there. There are other changes that are not to the glory of God, but to our confusion of face, to our deep reproach. And it seems to me that Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, in this chapter that is prophetic, and I read the verses in chapter 31 to show that Deuteronomy 32 is a prophecy, what departure there was from God. There was a change in them, wasn't there? They ceased to be for Jehovah what they had been for him in the beginning. He ceased to have in their hearts the place that he had had and the place that he should always have had. And the verses go on to speak about the idolatry of the children of Israel, don't they? How extraordinary this is. And yet we read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, a verse that I didn't read, we read of the faithfulness of God. Thou art a God of faithfulness. And the name for God, the particular name for God that is used there, is El, the mighty God, a mighty God of faithfulness. And this seems to be emphasized too in the verse that I read lower down, where Jehovah says, I am he, or I am the same. If there was a change on their part toward Jehovah, there was absolutely no change on Jehovah's part toward them. Well, you know that in the Old Testament there are types of Christ. The Lord Jesus could say concerning the scriptures of the Old Testament in their entirety, these are they that testify of me. But the history of the children of Israel is also a picture book, a lesson book for ourselves today. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that the things that happened unto them happened as examples of us, upon whom the end of the ages are come. And only a little bit of experience in the Christian pathway teaches us, doesn't it, that we've got hearts just like their hearts. Hearts that are ever ready, perhaps, to turn away from the Lord. And yet we can count on the Lord absolutely to be always the same to us. And being the same, he was the resource, wasn't he, of the children of Israel. So that later in Nehemiah's day, when he granted some reviving, some recovery, we find these Levites again remembering that their God is a God who is the same. Deuteronomy 32 is largely occupied with the foreseen failure of the children of Israel, but Nehemiah 9 is largely taken up with recounting the faithfulness of Jehovah, the faithfulness of God to the children of Israel during all those years of their unfaithfulness to him. But there seems to be connected with this fact that he was always the same to them in Nehemiah's day, an ancillary truth, if you like. And that is, if he is the same, and he is the same, his standards don't change. And this has been emphasized already in ministry in the course of this week. If there was some reviving, if there was some recovery, so that a tiny remnant returned to Babylon, to that place where the Lord had placed his name, there was no lowering of the divine standard to accommodate them in their weakness, was there? And we find that there were all kinds of problems that arose that had to be addressed, and that thankfully were addressed. There was Shemaiah, the false prophet. There was Tobiah, who through family links exercised an influence over the nobles of Judah. There were those who had married foreign wives. When the law was read, all the people wept. There was a recognition of the fact, wasn't there, that they hadn't been for the Lord what they should have been. But when they began to obey, and I think they realized that the time had arrived in the Jewish calendar that the Feast of Tabernacles should be kept, they kept the feast, and the scripture says that there was very great gladness among the people. Very great gladness as they saw in their great weakness, simply to answer to the word of the Lord. In Psalm 102, we have this remarkable passage, and I read it in Psalm 102 as well as in Hebrews 1 for this reason. Because in Psalm 102, which is a messianic psalm, a psalm in which the Spirit of Christ articulates the sorrow of a rejected and suffering Messiah, we find that Jehovah above addresses, answers Messiah below, who is himself Jehovah. These are the words of Messiah, aren't they, in verses 23 and 24, or the first part of 24. Weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And in my King James translation at that point I have a colon. But in the Darby translation there's a full stop, two full stops, that indicates a break in the passage. And the speaker from the second part of verse 24 is Jehovah, Jehovah above, who answers this cry, the cry of the sorrowing Messiah to him with these words, thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not. This is confirmed for us, isn't it, in Hebrews 1 and in Hebrews 13. The God of Israel, Jehovah, this God that was the same, is the one that we know as Jesus. The one who has died for us upon the cross. And we find in Hebrews 13, don't we, that there were those who had him as the end of their conversation, whose faith followed, Paul says, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And it seems to me that there is carried in these verses the idea that those who have Christ Christ as their object, those who have him as their life, practically speaking, those who have him as the end of their conversation, they become like him. And they become like him in this particular respect, that they're marked by constancy. Our brother John, in the course of the reading yesterday, quoted the scripture from Proverbs 24, "Beware of them that are given to change." And you know, we're living in days in the Christian testimony when there are those who are changing. There are principal men, chief men among the brethren, and they're changing. And they're saying, what I thought was important 20 years ago, I don't think it's important anymore. The eternal sonship of Christ, that's not important, they say. But these men that Paul mentions, those who had the rule over the Hebrew Christians, had been marked by constancy, by stability. And just as they'd continued right through their course from beginning to end with their eyes fastened upon Christ, with a single eye committed to his interests altogether, and in no wise prepared to agree to any accommodation with the enemy, any surrendering of the truth of God, whatever. It isn't our truth to surrender, is it? It's God's truth. So these men were examples. Their faith was to be followed or to be imitated. And thank God. Thank God that it's Christ that God sets before us as the object of our hearts. I don't suppose I'm alone when I say that sometimes when I'm present at conference meetings, I feel I've made such poor progress in the understanding of the truth of God. But this always, I find, a great comfort, not an excuse for not having been more diligent in seeking to make the truth my own. But every one of us, whatever may be the stage of our Christian development, every one of us has the same object set before us, the same one set before our faith. And that's the Lord Jesus. Well, may God give us grace to seek in faithfulness to be here for him, the one who is always the same to us. May we be the same to him until he comes.